a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Here today, a reminder to please turn off your cell phones, put them on stun or vibrate, what have you. I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Kirschman, here. Feinstein, Peterson, here. Hunhoff, here. Solem, here. Latterell, Norstrup, here. Rosum, here. Rasmussen, here. Duvall, here. Miller, Russell, Wick, here. Greenfield.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, a quorum is present.
A quorum is present. Is there a motion on the previous meeting's minutes? Been moved by Representative Solem, seconded by Representative Duvall to approve the meeting, the minutes of the previous meeting. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. That motion carries. Those of you who are going to testify, please give any materials that you would like to have distributed to the pages. Oh, I see we have one here right now. Sir, would you like to come up and introduce yourself? Tell us what your plans are for next year, please.
Hello, my name is Joe Lyon. I'm a senior at Elk Point Jefferson, and next year I'm going to go to School of Mines for Chemical Engineering.
Apparently we have a fan. A reminder that all testimony and questions and answers will be addressed to the chair. With that, we have up today Senate Bill 51. Senate Bill 51 is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the application of the collection allowance credit for collecting the sales tax. I'll entertain proponent testimony on Senate Bill 51. I believe we have Secretary Gerlach here. He will be handing out an amendment and some other material that we'll be discussing. We'll be discussing both the bill and the amendment. We won't call for a motion. You have the latitude to speak to both, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the Tax Committee. Great to be here this morning. I think we're going to present a good bill, and I think you're going to enjoy what we have to say, and hopefully we can pass this thing and get it forward. So I'm going to start with a little history, and some of you may have been around then, but actually this collection allowance goes back quite a few years, but I'll start at 2006, where the legislature passed into law a collection allowance for retailers, but they gave it a delayed implementation date at that time. Under the proposal, a monthly tax filer in South Dakota would receive this collection allowance. To facilitate it, the tax relief fund was established, and it was supposed to be funded with monies from out-of-state companies who voluntarily remit state sales tax. And at that time, you know, we had hoped that there would be some federal legislation that would allow retailers outside of South Dakota to remit sales tax, and as we all know, that quite hasn't happened. The law passed is found in SDLC 1045, requires an allowance of 1.5% with a maximum of $70 per month, and it was supposed to take effect when the tax relief fund hit $10 million. The collection allowance is actually a tax credit. It's not a check that the state cuts back to a retailer, but rather a credit that the retailer keeps. As related to this, and it's to compensate them for the costs they incur while collecting and remitting sales tax. And as I think it's important to understand that the actual collection of sales tax is done by retailers at the local level, and then they submit it to the state, and we administer it. So they do an excellent job collecting the tax for the citizens of South Dakota, and we appreciate the relationship we have with them, and they really help to fund government. They're really at the grassroots level. Under the current law, the collection allowance, as I stated, would begin after the tax relief fund reaches $10 million. The relief fund is actually expected to reach $10 million in October of 2013, which would allow the collection allowance to kick in the next year in July of 2014. The amount currently in the fund is $8.7 million. These are tax revenues, as I stated, that are voluntarily paid to South Dakota by out-of-state companies. Right now, we have about 1,800 companies across the country that are licensed in South Dakota. They voluntarily comply and remit tax. We appreciate them for doing that, and their efforts have went into this fund. And the Bureau of Finance and Management controls this fund, and it's outside of revenue, actually. So, to get to the bill now, Senate Bill 51 proposes an update to the law passed in 2006. During the past year, the Department of Revenue has studied the compensation allowance program in preparation for its implementation. The result of our study was Senate Bill 51. Under our proposal, the compensation would apply to all taxes reported on a sales tax form. The collection allowance would begin then in January 1st of 2014. We wanted a more definite date. When we looked at the administration of this, we didn't want it to rely on the tax collection fund. We didn't know when that would happen, what fiscal year would it be in. So Senate Bill 51 states that this would start on January 1st, 2014. It's 6 months earlier than would have by law. The compensation does remain the same, 1.5% tax due with a cap of $70 per month. And if you do the math on that, a retailer would get $840 per year for the collection allowance. As of December 31st, 2012, we have 61,709 sales tax filers in South Dakota who would qualify for this collection allowance. During the first year, all filers would qualify for this. Thereafter, in 2015, what we would ask a retailer to do is to get online with us and begin filing their taxes electronically. Obviously, when we looked at this from the administrative standpoint, from the department, and I think from the retailers eventually, I think the electronic means of filing taxes is the way to go, and we want to work with them on that. A little bit about a tax return. If you look at one of ours for South Dakota, it's got 11 categories. It's got sales tax, use tax, tourism tax, municipal sales tax, telecom gross receipts tax, excise tax on farm machinery, amusement device tax, motor vehicle licensing tax, intermediate care facility tax, Sioux Falls lodging tax, and tribal tax. So if you're a retailer and you have money that comes in, you have to take that money and then put it in the proper area of the form when you submit it to the Department of Revenue. So as I stated before, there is a fair amount of work that the retailer has to do to get everything categorized correctly, and then our staff works with them to make sure it's in the right category. So there is some complexity to it, and that was one of the reasons that when we put this bill together, we wanted all areas of the tax return to contribute to the funding of this program. And going back just to, for the reference with the committee, when the bill was passed in 2006, it was a new program, and that's what I consider it as. There was no budget to it, although they wanted a budget with the fund, and there was no administration. So as we studied this, we wanted to look at it in terms of ease of administration for both the retailer and then the department, and then make sure it's funded at a correct level. Our estimate was that this would cost about $6.4 million per year, of which the state share would be $4.9 million. Obviously, sales tax is the largest portion of this. And then the other areas would fund about $1.3 million for the total of $6.4 million. Administratively, we will ask taxpayers to file on time to receive the compensation. There is no initial requirement, as I stated, to file electronically, but we would like to work with them toward that. As the committee has heard from our staff, we have our new ePath system that is going to be up and running this summer. It'll allow a taxpayer to manage their account better, look at past returns, file amended or delinquent returns, and choose multiple pay options. So we want to make it as easy to file electronically as possible. For reference, for the committee, 46 states who collect sales tax across our country, 29 of them have some type of a collection allowance. 22 of these states also have some type of electronic filing tied to this. So to summarize, ladies and gentlemen, This has been going on for quite a while. The 2006 legislature told us they wanted it done. It's time to do it. I think it's time to do it in the right way from an administrative standpoint that helps the retailers, helps state government, and we can move forward with this. So I would ask the committee to pass this bill because I think it's the right thing to do. I'm sure we'll get into some discussions on how this is funded. I will tell you, when we studied this summer, we really wanted to look at two areas: ease of administration, both for the retailer and the department, and then asking everyone who retailers collect tax for to contribute. So when we did that, we got to our conclusion that if we have 11 different categories and everybody's working together on this, then everybody should contribute. And we also thought that that would increase the ease for administration for everybody. So as you want to talk about the amendment, I'll go into that a little bit farther. The other thing I think to keep in mind is if the committee does not agree with the amendment, we are currently funded at $4.9 million. I know BFM is doing their revenue estimates to the Appropriations Committee today, and within their revenue estimates, I know they have $4.9 million for this program and not any more. So if we pass this out of here today without including the amendment to get the other entities back in, there's about a $1.4 million delta or shortfall for this program. So hopefully that was educational and gives the committee some reference, and by all means, I would be willing to stand by and discuss it any further, Mr. Chair, at your leisure.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. We'll probably delve in, as you said, to some of those other questions. Is there further proponent testimony? Further proponents on Senate Bill 51. Good morning, Mr. Lyons.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Sean Lyons, South Dakota Retailers Association. Mr. Chairman, if I could just speak to the bill and not to the amendment. First of all, I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. As I look around the table, and I appreciated Secretary Gerlach's indulgence in giving you some of the history of the collection allowance, and I would tell you that there is probably no issue that means more to our members and our organization than the collection allowance. In fact, it goes back to 1990 when we worked with Governor Mickelson at that time on instating a collection allowance. And I just want to give you a little bit of that history because there are some new members on this committee and new to the legislative body that I think needs to understand why this issue is significant to us. I also want to give some kudos to the chairman, who was a senator at the time when we brought the collection allowance back in 2006, and so to give you a little bit of perspective on some of the folks that have been involved with this issue over the years. In 1990, Governor Mickelson proposed that the sales tax collections change from bimonthly to monthly. It provided a one-time cash flow and windfall for the state of approximately $20 million for prison facilities and at-youth risk programs. Governor Mickelson proposed providing a tax credit for retailers at that time in recognition for the costs associated with collecting and remitting taxes. The administration, the legislature, and the Retailers Association agreed on a credit equal to 1.5% of the tax remitted. They also agreed to cap it at $70 per month per retailer. And I would tell you that while I've spoke with some of you about that, seems like not a real significant amount, and it's probably not. I think it's a recognition for retailers that they are partners with our state and local governments on remitting sales taxes to the state. The collection allowance was, of course, repealed to help fund property tax relief in 1995 for owner-occupied and agricultural property owners. I think it's important to note that, and we've talked about this for a number of years, commercial property owners did not and do not benefit from the property tax break. So as Secretary Gerlach spoke with you about earlier, it was reinstated back in 2006 with that delayed implementation. And frankly, the legislature at that time, along with our organization, fought the good fight, frankly, with the administration at that time of overriding a governor's veto, both Republicans and Democrats recognizing the fact that this was a commitment that we've made to the retail community. And so as part of that agreement, as the Secretary talked about, the collection allowance was set to kick in when the money credited to that account that he spoke about reached 10 million. And obviously that target's going to be reached this fall. The way the law is currently written, the credit will kick in July 1st of 2014. Senate Bill 51 will move that date up to January 1st, 2014. I think one of the things, and Secretary Gerlach talked about this, one of the significant components of Senate Bill 51 is the fact of electronic filing. And I'll give you just a little bit of an example. For our organization, we have approximately 4,000 members. We frequently will send out emails to our folks alerting them on certain issues or educational programs that are going on. I asked our staff one day, how many email addresses do we have for our membership? We have about 2,500 email addresses for about 4,000 members. So that will tell you that there, now maybe there's a lot of folks that just don't want me to have their email. But I also think, Representative Solem, be nice. But I also think that there are a number of retailers, mom-and-pop businesses around the state that, frankly, don't have Internet access, choose not to have Internet access, and frankly, like the traditional method, call them old-fashioned, but that's what we are in South Dakota, of filing their tax returns, the paper method. They like it when they go through a sales tax audit. So this transition to electronic filing is a little bit of a leap of faith for our members. Now, we recognize the fact that if you want to receive something, you have to be able to give something. And so while electronic filing is not mandatory, it is if you want to be able to receive the credit. And as we've shared with our board of directors, we think that's a fair compromise if we want to be able to proceed going forward. This is a significant issue for the business community. The retailers of the state serve as the tax collectors for government. They collect the tax for both the local and state levels of our government. In 2006, PricewaterhouseCoopers completed a national study to measure the costs that retailers incur in collecting sales tax. And I know I've spoken with some of you about, you know, it's just part of doing business, just part of what you do. But there is a cost associated with collecting sales tax. And when the study was commissioned, directed and funded by a joint government and business steering committee, it found that the average out-of-pocket cost to retailers to collect sales tax over a three-year period, or excuse me, to collect the sales tax is over 3% of the tax collected. When it's broken down by the size of retailer, the cost ranges from 13.4% for small retailers, which I would venture to guess is the majority of your constituents, to 2.17% for large retailers. The other component in all of this is that credit card purchases are obviously becoming more and more commonplace for retail. Retailers actually have to pay a percentage for the total amount of each credit card purchase, including the sales tax. So for a credit card purchase, the retailer is collecting the tax for the state and municipalities, and they're paying a fee on that tax to the credit card processor. So in essence, they're floating the bill to compensate, to send in that tax credit, or to send in their tax to the state at the same time that they're having to float the bill of what they're having to pay for credit card fees. More than half of the states already have a collection allowance in place. I think it's 27 states, I think with the max being about 5%. So you can see, obviously, we're not the first to have this on the books. We feel that it's time for the legislature to move forward. It's the right thing to do. Retailers are the partners with government in collecting these taxes, and it's time to move forward with it. I think the secretary talked about, and there's been some discussion on the floor about how we fund this program. Again, you're not sending checks back out to the retailer. It's a credit that we're taking when we submit our taxes to the state. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I appreciate your support of Senate Bill 51. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 51. Morning, Ms. Taylor.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. And, Mr. Chairman, may I speak to the bill and probably primarily to the amendment?
Please do, yes.
Thank you. This has all got its root, basically, in the streamlining project that I think probably everybody in this room is very supportive of. And we have a long history with that project of the Internet sales tax streamlining. I was appointed myself to the original commission that worked out the base that we're all working from right now. And as part of that streamlining, we made deals. We gave some and we got some, especially on the issue of taxing the ag community. When the ag equipment dealers brought a bill that had us give some, we supported it because that was part of the deal we had made through all of this process. And when it was necessary to save the sales tax base and help us fund a program, help to fund a program for the underprivileged, we said we'll participate, and we stuck with it because that was a deal we made, and we stuck with it. We honored our obligations. This is not our deal. We played no part in setting this up when it passed in 2006. We didn't participate in the bills. We didn't participate in the hearings or in any of the provisions of this program, and we do not want to be involved in how the Department of Revenue administers it. We already pay for the collection and administration of the sales tax. And, Mr. Chairman, may I distribute a handout?
Please do.
We pay the Department of Revenue nearly $3 million right now for collection and administration of the sales tax, and we get a good service. We're not complaining about that. The Department of Revenue has done a good job. We have no argument with them. They've been very upfront with us in dealing with this entire bill, this entire session, and so we're not rising up here because we have issues with the Department of Revenue. But we do think that if you look at this sheet, you will see that $3 million of other funds shows up for the business tax division. And in our estimation, that's at least a pretty good example of the scope that the municipal general funds are playing in the payment for collecting the sales tax and for the administration of the sales tax. We feel we are paying right now at least our fair share of this program and that we are funding our share of the cost for collection and administration. If the state wants to subcontract part of that out to the retailers and begin to pay them, that's fine with us, but we feel we have already paid. We're paying for it already. The estimated cost of the amendment to the cities and towns is $1.5 million, and I know we're heading into budget week, and I know you guys are all dealing with numbers that are incredibly big and much, much bigger than $1.5 million, but to our cities and towns, that's a lot of money. And it's money that we use to pay for streets and water and sewer and police and all of the stuff that we do. We should not take local money to pay for a state program. Someone said to me, boy, you're all really locked down on this. You're fighting so hard. How come? What's so big about this? It is just, it's $1.5 million. That's money. But I can tell you also, we see this step because we have some connection through a common revenue stream of sales tax as a step to take local money from local services and pay for a state program. And that scares the bejeepers out of us because we don't know where that stops. I have on hand this year, because we're working on a different bill, just a couple of numbers on only one area of what cities are paying for, and it's wastewater this year. We have a town of 2,000 who spent $4 million on their wastewater treatment system. A town of 4,000 a population is looking at spending a minimum of $12 to $20 million on a wastewater treatment system. Water systems are nearly as expensive. And then we have streets and we have law enforcement. And the things like economic development and parks that we all want to do, they take a backseat to those incredible infrastructure costs that we have. We recognize and we respect the state operates on a very tight budget, that you don't have enough money. There are endless demands and there are endless needs, and it is an incredibly limited revenue stream that we are all dealing with. But we would ask for you to respect in return that we also have tight budgets. We also provide programs. We also face endless needs and endless requests for funding. We're doing everything we can with the money we have. We think that these revenue streams need to stay separated, and we would really ask you to recognize that we provide vital services to the same citizens you do and not take local money to pay for state programs. We would ask you to please reject the amendment and please pass Senate Bill out, 51 out, as a clean bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. For the proponent testimony on Senate Bill 51, good morning, Mr. Owen.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry, to make 3 points. One, $6 million for a field staff of 61,000 people is a bargain if I've ever seen one. Two, of that 61,000 licenses the secretary made reference to, I want to tell you that there's 30-some-odd thousand businesses that have enough employees or have employees at all so that they're in the unemployment insurance system. And so my second point is to understand that we use the term retailer a lot. when it comes to sales and use tax, but most of the people collecting and remitting sales and use tax don't have the register right by the door. There's about 4,000 in our Department of Revenue system that are purely retailers, and then you've got some restaurants. But this will affect and help attorneys' offices, architects, you know, there's a lot of, we have a very broad sales tax, which means you have an awful lot of businesses that will feel the impact of this beyond what you think of when you hear the term retailer. Last point, I'm trying as much as I can to be kind of a modern guy, and my phone has apps. To prove that I'm failing, one of my apps is an inflation calculator. And I will tell you, you're restoring the $70 limit that existed in 1990, and that would be $123 today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Further proponent testimony. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Bob O'Connell with the Sioux Falls Area Chamber of Commerce. The chamber represents about 2,200 businesses in the Sioux Falls area and would ask for your favorable support on the bill in its present form. The bill recognizes contributions of these businesses in collecting contributions and taxes through the collection allowance. The bill fulfills the promise to these businesses to compensate them for their expenses and efforts in collecting these sales taxes, and we would ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connell. For the proponent testimony on Senate Bill 51, morning, Ms. Brish.
I'm Michelle Brish, and I'm here representing the South Dakota Innkeepers Association, which is over 200 hotel and lodging establishments around the state. And it's an industry, of course, that's very credit card intensive. And as Mr. Lyons pointed out, when you're paying the credit card fee on what we're collecting for the state, and that's a fairly large issue. Anyway, we also support this bill and hope you all pass it out. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 51. Further proponents on Senate Bill 51. Seeing none, I'll open it up to any opponent testimony on Senate Bill 51. Any opponents on Senate Bill 51? Seeing none, I'll close that portion of the committee hearing, and I will open it up for questions of the committee. Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Yvonne Taylor. My question is, what percentage of the sales tax collected by your members is being paid to the state for the fee? Do you have any idea of what that percentage would be?
Mr. Chairman, Yvonne Taylor, I have scribbled notes, and I think I've got that somewhere in here. If you'll give me a moment, I might be able to come up with it. I believe I have the numbers for the state. Oh no, we have we collect $295 million, almost $296 million from all sales tax, including bed, booze, and board. And so I do not claim to be a math person. So if I give you that number, maybe you can do your own math. I do know that the state, the $6 million would be 0.0045 of the general fund. I must not have done the math for the city.
Thank you, and I did see Secretary Gerlach shaking his head that the numbers is right. So further questions of the committee?
That's it. Thanks.
Further questions of the committee? Any further questions? Seeing none, I will open it up for committee discussion or action. Representative Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to pass.
Second.
Been moved by Representative Rosen, seconded by Representative Nordstrom to pass on Senate Bill 51. Is there discussion on that motion, Representative Rosen?
Thank you. No, I think it's been very well explained, and this has been in existence before, way back day when I was collecting it. Reaping the benefits of the little bit of money that they take. So, no, I think everybody seems to me to be on board, so let's go.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Wick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a substitute motion, and it's an amendment that I just had Fred draft a little bit ago, so I'll pass it down both ways and let everybody have a look at it. The substitute motion would be to strike on page 2, lines 15 through 22, inclusive. The original purpose of this portion of the... No, that's all the same thing.
Representative Wick has moved that Senate Bill 51 be amended with amendment number 51FF. It's been seconded by Representative Hunhoff. Representative Wick, do you have comments on that motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Reading the bill last night, because I don't really look at these real close until about the night or day before they come up in committee, I realized that Section 2 of this bill that would be repealed or removed with the amendment, Section 2 is the original purpose for and the original way to get this reduction for the people that collect the taxes, and it would put all of the dollars collected voluntarily from the streamlined sales tax into a fund that could only be used to reduce taxes. And I think to take this section out of our law is a mistake, because when this passed the House, I don't remember the Senate vote, but it only passed the House 69-1. And I think the people back then realized that these taxes, if allowed to just go into the general fund every year, would be a boon for state spending, yes, but I thought a better use, since it was dollars the state had never had, to reduce the taxes in the state, and those funds would be put away strictly for the purpose of reducing other taxes. And when things were a little tough in 09 and 10, I actually got phone calls when they swept that fund, because there were people that were concerned that would it be okay to sweep the fund, and I said, well, when it's when the economy has done what we've had, I said it'd be okay to sweep the fund. I still think those funds should be returned so that that $10 million that's supposed to be there in October would be there. And I think those funds, when the streamlined sales tax goes into effect, should be used to reduce the people of South Dakota's taxes. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I think a point of order.
Representative Feinstein, state your point.
Sir, I don't know if it's a point of order or what, but looking at the Act version, and it must be a different version of the bill. I don't have a paper copy, because this still has the version on Act has the city's sharing, and so I don't even know what line we're talking about.
Okay.
If I get a paper version of what we're looking at, but that's...
I think we've got that, Representative.
No, maybe your second to agree we should do sections 23.
Representative Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First off, you can say that that would reduce property taxes, but in fact, I think you're going to increase taxes at the local level. Representative Wick, I think that would increase taxes at the local level, because you're pulling money out of the municipal budgets that fund all the things that Ms. Taylor discussed. And furthermore, what the state is taking is 0.0045. The city's portion, almost 3.4 million, is 0.01148%. So the cities or the municipalities are actually paying 2.5 times more of their revenue source than the state is. So I would say we don't need that. We don't want that amendment.
Representative, for the panel here, take you back to 2006. We had two issues that were separate and distinct, and they were ultimately married to one another. I was on the Senate side working to try to get the collection allowance through. Representative Wick was on the House side working to get this this language on the books. And they did establish the tax relief fund, and they've since had an accounting of the cumulative effect, the net number of dollars that have come into that. I don't think what Representative Wick is seeking to do here is to put a cost burden on anybody. He's asking for the committee to weigh in on whether or not that tax relief fund should be essentially deleted, that language, and the accounting go away. Again, it was an awkward, it made for some awkward moments back in 2006. Representative Wick wasn't terribly happy with me when I got the amendment that tied the two together, because they were essentially not related. But I'm going to turn it over to Representative Wick in a moment to further clarify. But I will say that if you look at what is overstricken, and I didn't know the amendment was coming, but if you look at what is overstricken, it simply refers to an accounting for the dollars that come into the tax relief fund because of voluntary remission of tax. Representative Wick, would you care to further clarify and address the amendment?
There's no, thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's no intention in the amendment to change anything that's going on with the city or the local businesses in their refunds. It's strictly to maintain the Mr. Our LRC person, Mr. Botts, suggested that both sections should come out, Section 2 and Section 3 of this bill, and with the approval of my second, I would change the amendment to do that. But the purpose is to save those dollars as they come in, to have them accumulate. And, yes, they've been swept, so there is not close to the $10 million, but by accounting purposes, there's $10 million that's owed there by October. And I just feel that the streamlined sales tax, if it ever goes into effect, and actually Congress is much closer now to pushing one through than they have been in years, but if that would go through, I think that that boom in revenue for the state should be used to reduce other taxes. And this bill was put together, and yes, our chairman, as a senator, married some things, and he got it done in the Senate. We agreed to it because it actually was well within the realm of what I kind of feel like should happen. These were funds that were taken away from businessmen for collecting taxes for us, and as you can tell by what happened today, that the state does get some revenue for collecting the cities. So it only makes sense that the businessmen that are collecting for us should get theirs back someday. So I felt like it was a way to get two things done, put them together, and it had tremendous support from the legislature in both houses. And the intent is strictly to be able to reduce taxes down the road when streamlined sales tax revenues do kick in. Thank you.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I served on Senate taxation at the time this was put together, too. And it was a compromise that was reached at that time. And I do support Representative Wick on this to restore the language that we put together at that time. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion. Representative Rosenman.
Mr. Chair, I'm having a problem because this amendment comes in the 11th hour with no ability to discuss it, and I'm not understanding it yet. Now, I might be a little slow because it's morning, but I don't like the fact that we're looking at this now without the opportunity, and I don't know whether we can call back up somebody from the audience to get some information so that we're not just listening to what's going on up here. Is that possible, Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry, I was consulting.
You were otherwise engaged
with LRC.
I don't, I don't, this amendment is in the 11th hour. I have not had a chance to understand it, even though you've explained it somewhat. I'm not getting it just yet. Would it be possible to ask either Ms. Taylor or somebody to come up and...
I would like for Secretary Gerlach to come up. Again, and as you've pointed out, you know, normally we would not do this, but I recognize the nature of this amendment and the surprise element. So would you care, Mr. Secretary, to explain why those sections are being deleted or you're seeking to repeal those two
Gladly,
sections?
Mr. Chairman. When we took on this project, we looked at how we wanted to fund this. We didn't want an ambiguous funding approach. We want a solid funding approach. That solid funding approach came from two areas, the state general fund and the municipal and others. So that's how we came to that conclusion. When we put the language together, and obviously in consultation with Bureau of Finance and Management because they manage budgets, it was decided that we would take those sections out, and track me here, Representative, if I'm wrong, and then those would come out. It would do away with the tax collection fund, and then those monies that are currently in that fund would revert into the general fund. So what we wanted to do was take away that fund, that if you fund this fully with the two areas, state general fund and municipalities, you would not need the monies in the collection fund to fund this program. Does that match up with your intent in terms of what you think the fund should and should not do? But what we did is we did away with the fund, and then the monies in it go into the state general fund.
That wouldn't be within the intent of what was done back then, because it was to stay in a special fund until the streamlined sales tax is passed and then be used to reduce other taxes in the state.
Okay.
Not to go into the general fund for...
Right, and then that decision was made when we put this bill together and figured out how we wanted to fund that. And I understand exactly what you're doing, and I understand what you're doing from a futuristic standpoint, in that if you keep that there and Congress does pass legislation to where out-of-state retailers then have to submit tax to South Dakota, it would go into this fund.
If there are questions of the Secretary, or if anybody would like for further clarification from anybody who testified, Representative Feinstein.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I think between Secretary Gerlach and the sponsor of the amendment, I might get my answer that I was going to ask before. Since this Section 2 refers to 1045C-15, which is in Section 3, that is also deleted, the last line on page, well, 3, line 4, who is not otherwise legally obligated to remit such taxes, if streamlined tax goes into effect, they are then legally obligated to pay taxes. Isn't that the way I read that? This fund would essentially be non-existent then, because everybody in the country would be legally obligated to pay taxes. How would any money flow in there? Unless I'm, if you could clarify that between the two of you.
If I might be able to take a stab at that. I think that this fund was created to only track those voluntary tax remittals or remissions or what have you. And it does speak to the voluntary retail license in line 2 on page 3 also. So I think you're correct. But if Secretary Gerlach or Representative Wick would like to further clarify, that would be all right. Representative Wick?
I think what you're reading is correct as far as it goes away, but it would continue, and then the other part would say that those funds collected would be used to reduce other taxes.
Follow up. And so, in other words, if this law passed with your amendment, once Streamline came into effect, it would end. That's the way I read it. Is that because they would be legally obligated, it would no longer be voluntary? So, in other words, this is sort of a stop. Your amendment would be sort of a stopgap time until, you know, if Streamline passes, it doesn't make any difference.
Representative Hunhoff.
A question for the amendment sponsor. So do I understand it correctly? Your goal is to make a policy statement that when streamlined sales tax goes into effect, whether it be $25 million, $50 million, that those dollars would go toward other tax reductions and not to the general fund?
That's correct.
Okay.
Representative Russell.
Mr. Chairman, so am I understanding this right, that what we have here, I'm curious as to why the department put this portion in the bill.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Secretary?
Because we believe that this program should be funded by two sources, the state general fund and then the municipal and others. If the legislature would agree that it's funded by those two sources, then we don't need the monies in the sales tax collection fund, and then they can revert into the general fund and be used for other expenses of state government.
Yeah, and I heard that earlier. But I'm trying to comprehend why in the world we would be touching this existing statute that is to go essentially for property tax reduction on people who are voluntary remitting taxes they're not even obligated to pay into a special fund for property tax reduction. My interest is why would the administration want to be what I would deem sweeping some funds and changing the statute in this particular bill.
Mr. Secretary,
is that a question? Quite frankly, I don't think you need these monies if you fund it fully with the general fund or the municipalities. So I think you can take those monies and put them into the general fund.
I see. So it's essentially a cost shift onto the municipalities.
Mr. Secretary.
I look at it as more of a cost shift on the program. If the program is fully funded based on the original Senate Bill 51, then you don't need these monies to fund this program.
Okay. Representative Rosen.
Thank you. Point of clarification, you know, if Streamline does go into effect, and we're estimating it, I've heard $38 million from the Department of Revenue. I'm reading $60 million in some other sources. So let's take a happy medium and say it's somewhere around $45 million. Do we really want that not going into the general fund and funding education and et cetera rather than the property tax relief? Am I missing the point still?
Would anybody care to address that question? Representative Wick.
I'll try. It would be up to the legislature at the time to decide what taxes would be reduced. They might reduce the sales tax on food, or they might reduce the property tax, or they might reduce the sales tax overall. But it would be used instead of for expanded spending and a boon for the state to expand certain areas of services, perhaps, to make everybody look at where we can reduce taxes and be fairest to the people of the state.
Is there further discussion? Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, just speaking to the amendment, I think this, even though I seconded it, I think it would be a mistake. Been a good discussion. I think it would be a mistake. And, in fact, it's because we made some decisions 20 years ago, well-intentioned decisions 20 years ago that set this whole thing in place, and that's why we're here. And then we didn't follow them up right away. We just set a goal in place, and then many years later somebody said, well, we got to fulfill those obligations that were made many, many years ago, and we want to fulfill our obligations. We want to follow previous intent of the legislature, and that's why we're even here. So this would be another mistake. We don't really know what the situation is going to be. We don't know how much money it'll be. We don't know what the demands of the general fund will be. We don't know if those other taxes need to be raised or lowered that are referred to in here. So this is just not a decision we have to make today, and I'd hope you oppose the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with the previous speaker. I think it's a different discussion for a different day, and we don't know what we want to do if the Congress does act. So I would resist this amendment.
Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think it is a different discussion for a different day, and why it isn't is because we have it in front of us to repeal what was set in place years ago. And the the problem here is that the intent when this passed is being changed in this bill. And so it certainly is a discussion for today, not tomorrow, because we will essentially be changing the current status of the law. And so I appreciate the amendment. I would hope that we pass it because, frankly, I think that it was part of a compromise years ago to get all of this business through. And now for us to change it without even understanding what we're doing, I think it's an unfortunate circumstance that we've been put in, but that's what we're here to do, is to make these decisions, and this decision will change the current law.
Representative Feinstein.
Thank you. Back to my previous comments, is I think the only way this amendment could be successful is if we also delete the page 2 started on line 23 and going through that section. And then I think it is pretty well defined that once Streamline goes into effect, this would be meaningless. So I think by itself, this amendment does not do it. You would have to repeal both sections, and one without the other. Well, if this section remains in law, it's meaningless because it refers to a section that's deleted. So I think we either have to combine it and have a substitute amendment to bring both of those sections back to life, or kill the amendment.
Representative Wick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You may not have heard it, and I may not have got the approval of my second, but I actually said, because Mr. Botts came over and said, because of the reference in here to the other section, he said both of those sections, section 2 and 3, should be removed. So it would delete the lines from 15 to the 24 on page 2, and it would delete lines 1 through 4 on page 3. And I said I would move that if I got the approval of my second, and I'm not sure that...
For convenience, you have the approval.
Okay. So, because it was something he discovered after he originally wrote the amendment.
The motion is to delete sections 2 and 3. It has been... the motion has been amended with the approval of the second for purposes of discussion. Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe the intent of the bill before us today is to deal with the streamlined sales tax. And so I know there's been discussion here about, well, this is a last-minute amendment, but I would make the comment that having this repealer in the bill is not necessarily related to the intent of the bill. And so to amend and remove that section actually makes the item that we'll be voting on in the bill more clear and more simple.
Representative Nostrup.
The bill has something to do with that, but the main point is to give the tax credit to the retailers. That's why the bill came forward. That's the point, and we're losing focus of that point.
Representative Wick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief, and I will just respond to the last speaker and say that, yes, the intent is to do that. That would still happen if we remove these two sections. This was put into this bill, and I don't think it should have been there in the first place, and that's why the amendment is there. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, the motion is to amend Senate Bill 51 by deleting sections 2 and 3. A roll call has been requested. I will honor that request. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no, and the secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Cushman?
No.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
No.
Solem?
No.
Latterell?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
No.
Rosum?
No.
Rasmussen?
No.
Erickson? Duvall?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Mr. Chairman, that's 8 yay and 6 nay. 1 excused.
So the motion having received a majority of the members present is declared passed. House Bill, Senate Bill 51 is so amended. It's been moved by Representative Duvall. Do pass as amended. Is there a second?
Second.
Representative Hunhoff has seconded that motion. Is there a discussion on that motion?
Now, weren't we back to the original motion?
The substitute motion prevailed. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor, Representative Hunhoff.
Well, the bill became a little more difficult, but I think it's all well-intentioned from the start. And as I said earlier, you know, we have some obligation here. Things were set in motion 20 years ago, and then again in about 7 years ago, and we have an obligation. I believe I don't like that we're trying to, again, tie the hands of future legislators. And I really even question whether this is a top priority for these several millions of dollars when we're out here trying to wrestle with higher priorities. And I'm a owner of a business that collects and pays sales taxes, and this is a minimal amount to me. I figure it'll be 1/10 of the cost of collecting the sales taxes for us, 1/10 or 1/15 of what the cost is. So it means nothing to me. It means nothing to any business that's really collecting the tax. And yet, we're not getting the job done on education funding. We're not funding nursing homes properly. We're not funding programs for the disabled. Any one of us in this whole room could find numerous ways to better spend this money without a doubt, but we're honoring past obligations, so I'll vote yes today, but this is probably not the greatest government. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too think that the $70 is probably not sufficient. I don't know that I'm going to mess up what's going on here today by trying to amend it, but I think that the retailers should, in fact, get a higher amount of money, especially from the standpoint that now we're going to be requiring the retailers to take on the task of doing it all electronically. And that may be you know, fine and dandy for most, but there may be some that becomes somewhat of a hardship for, and I just think that we should also be thinking about whether or not in the future we want to make this actually have a little bit more to do with their actual cost, because $70 frankly is nothing, and I certainly would support something in the future, or maybe on the floor, to expand it, maybe double it even, because these folks are doing a lot of work for the state on our behalf. Thank you.
And I think that by virtue of this amendment being put on, we'll probably definitely have a greater discussion on the floor. My concern is that what I don't want to see happen is for this, the amendment that's been attached, to derail progress out of deference to my cohort to my right, and knowing of the awkward marriage of the two issues back in 06, I did, you know, support the amendment to put it to the floor, but I will, you know, I think we can all expect further discussion from the department, so, and from some of the other bill proponents. With that, the motion before us is do pass on Senate Bill 51 as amended. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no, and the secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Kirschman.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Hunhoff. Oh, he's excused. Solem.
Pass.
Letterell.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Rosum.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
Aye.
Erickson. Duvall.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Mr. Chairman, that's 13 yeas, 2 excused.
So the motion, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is declared passed. That ain't happening. Senate Bill 51 will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Committee, we will be getting together next week to discuss any summer study issues. A motion to adjourn would be in order. Been moved by Representative Duvall, seconded by Representative Rosum to adjourn. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed will say no. We are adjourned.